The Bible is a dangerous book. And if you don't believe that, just look at the list of countries today where it is either illegal or virtually impossible to own a Bible. If the Bible is just a book of fairy tales, as many today suggest, then why is it banned in so many countries? When a country bans the Bible, that certainly tells us something about that country. But doesn't it also tell us something about the Bible? When was the last time you read about someone going to jail for owning a copy of the Odyssey or for teaching the Iliad? And yet we read every day about people who face jail and worse for owning or teaching from the Bible. Why? Well, because the Bible is a dangerous book. Because if you aren't careful, the Bible will reprove you. It will correct you, and it will instruct you in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. And those are things that many people in this world desperately want to avoid. And some countries go to very great lengths to avoid that danger. In North Korea, for example, Bibles are totally banned, and anyone found with a Bible faces imprisonment, torture, and death, as do three generations of their family. In many Arab-speaking countries, it's illegal to possess a Bible written in Arabic, and almost impossible to obtain a Bible in any language. In Uzbekistan, those found in possession of a Bible are prosecuted under a law that prohibits, quote, keeping and storing extremist materials with the purpose of further distribution, close quote. Why are the Arab countries in particular so afraid of the Bible? Well, that question is easy to answer. The Arab countries are particularly afraid of the Bible because the Bible shows the Quran for what it is, a work of man. The Quran is a confused and confusing mess. It rambles along, combining and misstating events from the Old Testament and many other sources. The Quran repeats the story of the Exodus 27 times in the first 89 chapters. If the repeated portions of the Quran were removed, it would be only 40% of its current size. And it very often gets the details wrong. In one of those accounts of the Exodus, Pharaoh asked Haman from the book of Esther to build the Tower of Babel. No wonder Arab countries ban the Bible. And Muslims are not alone in their fear of the Bible. For centuries, the Catholics have forbidden anyone but priests from reading the Bible. And they persecuted and killed those who translated the Bible into the language of the people. William Tyndale famously told one priest that he would someday cause a boy driving a plow to know more of the Bible than that priest did. And 10 years later, Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stake. The world is at war with the Bible, and it has been for centuries. Well, how should we as Christians react to that situation? What can we do about it? What should we do in response to it? Well, here are three answers to that question. First, we can start by considering a verse in the Bible that should be front and center in the life of every Christian in the United States. And that is Luke 12, verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. To whom has God given more than to us? Who living in this world, either now or at any time, has been more blessed by God than we have? And more to the point of this lesson, what would some people in this world give to have that copy of the Bible that's collecting dust in our home? I remember when the Soviet Union fell in 1991 and Bibles began to be available there and in other parts of the world where they had previously been prohibited and illegal. And I watched a news report that year, around 1991, that I still remember. And that news report showed Bibles being handed out from the back of a truck that had pulled up before a large crowd of people. And I remember seeing one man's face as he held out his hands for a Bible, but realized that they had just run out of Bibles and he did not have one. It's been nearly 30 years since I saw that news report, and I still vividly remember the look of disappointment on his face as he was holding out his hands for that Bible, and he lowered them to his side and walked away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2, verse 3. We often talk about the steps to salvation, but you know, there are also steps to neglecting salvation. And one of the first steps down that road is to neglect God's Word. It's one thing to be unfamiliar with Scripture when I don't own a Bible. It's another thing entirely when I have a bookshelf full of Bibles. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. One of the most wonderful blessings we enjoy in this country is free access to the word of truth. Let's be thankful for that, and let's study it, and let's not take it for granted, and let's not neglect it. That's the first thing we can do. The second thing we can do is not assume our freedom in this country will last forever. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, Isaiah 5, verse 20. Nowhere is that prophecy more true today than in how modern man views the Word of God. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And how do so many people today in this world describe God's Word? Hate speech. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Why do they call the Bible hate speech? Because the Bible testifies that their works are evil, John 7, verse 7. Because everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, John 3, verse 20. But our freedom in this country is secure, right? We don't have to worry about that, right? Wrong. Our freedom to proclaim God's word freely in this country is firmly in the hands of 5 unelected lawyers in Washington, D.C. And they are all it would take for us to lose that freedom. And if we don't think that could ever happen, we just haven't been paying attention. It could happen, and it could happen quickly. We must be thankful to God while that freedom remains, and we must take full advantage of that freedom while we have it. And if it ever goes away, we need to continue to proclaim the Word of God. Continue doing what God has told us to do in the face of persecution. The war against the Bible is a war against truth. Because we're told, thy word is truth. Bible is truth. Those who fear the Bible fear the truth. Orwell was right when he said that truth is treason in the empire of lies. And those who hold fast to the truth, we know they will face persecution. But no matter what persecution may come our way, we must know the truth, we must love the truth, we must obey the truth, we must live the truth. That's the second thing we can do. The third thing is we must pray for open doors and then go through those open doors when they appear. Paul wrote, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, Colossians 4, verse 3. That needs to be our prayer as well. The fall of the Soviet Union was a great open door from God for the proclamation of his word, and there have been many such open doors from God both before and after that one. Someday North Korea will fall. Someday those Arab nations will fall. Someday this country will fall. No earthly kingdom is eternal. There is only one eternal kingdom, and it will break and consume all of the other kingdoms, all of the kingdoms of this world, including our own. Doors open and doors close. While they are closed, we must pray for them to open. And while they are open, we must rush through them to do the work that God has given us to do, to take advantage of the opportunities he has given us to spread his word. No door will stay open forever. And that includes the most important door of all, the door into God's kingdom. One day that door will close, but tonight that door stands open for you if you will obey the gospel. At the moment of your baptism, God will usher you through that door from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, kingdom of His dear Son. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come while we stand and while we sing.